Hello and welcome once again to The Blueprints. This is Canada's Conservative Podcast. I'm your host, Jamie Schmale, Member of Parliament for Halliburton, Kawartha, the Lakes, Brock, with new content for you every single Tuesday, 1:30 p.m. Eastern Time. We ask that you like, comment, share, and subscribe to this channel. This is information you're probably not getting in the mainstream media, so we ask you tell two friends about it because they can download it and listen to it on platforms like CastBox, iTunes, Google Play, and Spotify if they so choose. Wide variety of places you can get it. And content for you. Like I said, new content every single Tuesday. This week, we are going to talk to the Order of the East, Mr. Richard Bragdon, the Member of Parliament for Tobique, Mactaquac, and New Brunswick. I say that, Mr. Bragdon, and I thank you again for coming on the show, because if you haven't checked out his social media feed, I encourage you to do so. He had an amazing speech on the Liberal carbon tax. It fired everybody up, and I want to give you compliments here on this show for giving this time after such a performance that lit up the House of Commons to the point of incapacitation. And it is really about, I know we jest here because we have a running joke, but to the point you were trying to make, the cost of living, the cost of everything is going up. Canada seems broken in many cases, and that was the point you were trying to make.
Oh, thanks, Jimmy. And I'm honored always to come on the show with you. We have a lot of fun, and yes, we jest and we have a good time. But I think it's great what you're doing and providing this platform to get out an alternate perspective and to get out some of the messaging that we're trying to hone in on. And I really believe that under Pierre's incredible leadership right now, we're tapping into a real frustration that's out there amongst a lot of Canadians, and they're feeling it. You can sense it. I'm sure you are in your riding. I know I am. And back home in Tobique, Mactaquac, people across New Brunswick and across Canada, for that matter, are feeling the pinch in their pocketbooks. They're feeling the effects in the cost of living. They're seeing the price of grocery store, the price of home heating, to fill up their tanks. All that is going up, up, up. Their wages can't keep up with it, and they're feeling that pinch. And the last thing they want or need is a hike in the carbon tax.
That's right.
Which affects everything. As you know, anything that's trucked or shipped or hauled, which ends up on the grocery shelves or in the stores or heating our homes for that matter, it's being affected in a big way, and it's only going to continue to soar, those cost increases, as the full implementation of the carbon tax plan comes into effect. So I was a little bit passionate about it in the House last week.
You were.
But I make no apologies about it, because I feel like that's the sentiment of a lot of Canadians. They're frustrated.
It's like, nor should you make apologies. Hear? No, you were tapping into something. I think that's why the speech resonated with so many, and it took off on social media, because people could see themselves in the words, in your words, in the stories you were telling. And it's happening. It's just shocking to me that the Liberals, who keep doubling down on their current strategy that Canadians have never had it so good, aren't getting the same letters, phone calls, and emails that we're getting. It just boggles my mind.
There's a disconnect, and people feel like they're those that they've elected, they're wondering, are you hearing us? Do you understand what we're going through? Do you see it? And they get up and they see this kind of aloof government that's disconnected, talking about how somehow if we pay more taxes at the pump and on our home heating and higher prices for groceries, that somehow we're going to heal the planet and the tides are going to recede and there'll be no more hurricanes. And that may sound over the top, but that is what Canadians are feeling like. Why are we having to pay through the nose for this kind of virtue signal that has limited to no effect? And one of the things that really stood out to me on my time in Natural Resources Committee, Jamie, was the fact that we heard testimony from Canada's Environment Commissioner. When we asked, Mr. Commissioner, this signature landmark piece of environmental legislation by the current government that's been in place in some jurisdictions now in Canada, like British Columbia, for over 10 years. Mr. Commissioner, do we have any metric that can measure and tell us as Canadians how much carbon has been pulled out of the atmosphere as a result of the implementation of this tax? And he said, at this point, we have no such metric. So this is the landmark signature piece of legislation for environmental policy for this government that loves to sign accords and virtue signal about how they're friends of the planet, and they have nothing that can substantiate their claims that the carbon tax is having any effect. But we got all kinds of evidence from Canadians from coast to coast to coast stating, we do know one effect it's having. Our pocketbooks are diminishing, and we don't have as much cash to spend, and it's getting almost impossible to keep up with the cost of living. So I think Canadians are fed up and they want real tangible solutions, and Canada needs to take a back seat to no one when it comes to our energy and our economic and environmental stewardship, I should say, our environmental stewardship. Our energy practices are second to none in the world. We have some of the best regulated sectors on the planet. Why are we outsourcing that development to countries that don't have near the regulation and somehow feel like we're doing the planet a favor? That is extremely misleading, and they talk about misinformation. That's the biggest piece of misinformation
that's out there.
Anyways, I got to stop. I'm all wound up.
There is many pieces. You're right. Emissions have gone up with the taxes, so somehow making people poor will save the environment. Meanwhile, you have countries like Germany and others that have tried the green Marxist way, and it isn't working. And they're coming to other countries. They're realizing that if you try this source of energy that isn't exactly widely available, it isn't affordable for the vast majority of Europeans, and it doesn't work. You get that your reliable source of natural gas cut off because of the conflict with Russia and Ukraine, and all of a sudden you're up the creek without a paddle, basically. You have to go to other countries to find that source of energy, because your citizens are going to be pretty upset because they know winter's coming. Absolutely. Thankfully, it's been a mild winter for parts of Europe, so they're still under a crunch, but it wasn't as bad as it was predicted to be. So you have the Chancellor of Germany coming to Canada saying, we'd like to buy some of your natural gas. The Prime Minister saying there isn't a business case for it, like he knows. Then you have the Prime Minister of Japan coming
like
here saying, the budget
balance,
same question. No, we're good. We're good here. So they go to Qatar and other countries to figure out how to do this. Now we hear news of Pakistan doing the same thing, going to the reliable, proven sources of energy. And it's not as if we're against green energy. It's A plus B. Your energy portfolio is always adding. You don't subtract. They want the Marxist left wants B minus A. You can't do that because B isn't tested. It's not widely available, and it's not widely affordable, more importantly.
Well, and it affects our national security. I think if anything that has become to the forefront over the last couple of years is the absolute critical importance of energy security and food security. And these policies are putting the boot on both of those sectors and industries in our country. The people who actually grow our food and produce our wealth are the ones that are being targeted through these draconian measures that punish the sectors that have generated wealth and food security for our country for years. And we have the potential to not only be the most energy secure and food secure nation on the planet, but also be a safe haven through which many other countries that are in insecure places could turn to as a refuge to do trade deals, to look at us for a supply of good, clean, solid Canadian produced energy, as well as food. We need to position Canada to take advantage of that and to help not only meet our own needs, but meet the world's needs. That makes good economic sense. It makes good environmental sense. And one of the things that's staggering, Jamie, that I found throughout this process, while we've been recently been virtue signaling on the environment and signing all these accords and bringing in these taxes, there's a neighboring jurisdiction to us in that same period of time that became the world's number one energy producer and exporter, and yet reduced their overall greenhouse gas emissions by far more than us. During that same time period, we were 57 out of 60 nations in reducing greenhouse gas emissions during all that time of virtue signaling, while this jurisdiction next to us increased their energy output and reduced their carbon footprint by transitioning from coal to natural gas, etc. Why couldn't Canada do the same? We can maximize all of the above. And we're for all of the above.
Absolutely.
I'm for nuclear, wind, solar.
I'm all about adding. Adding to the portfolio.
It's our strength. Yeah. So it makes sense.
Yeah, absolutely. While at the same time, we are getting scolded by, you know, the well-to-do, the super elites, people who don't care what the tax rate is because they're just so well off. But they treat themselves to the finest cuts of meat. They have the best flights, the private schedules. They get the limousine service. They stay at the finest hotels. But they don't actually solve anything when they get together in these so-called forums. They don't actually solve. The only thing they come up with is how to add more government, how to restrict the freedoms of the individuals in certain countries, how to basically keep people somewhat complacent by giving them what they think they need, right? They're pieces on the chessboard. You know, we are super smart. We know how people live their lives. We'll figure it out. everyone just keep pushing it uphill. And in case we, if we don't, we'll just ask for more time, more patience, and more money in the form of taxes.
Oh, exactly. And this is the thing, with all these wonderful grandiose suggestions and policies from, you know, the Davos Wonder Class, etc., what happens is average Canadians are sitting there thinking, I'm paying more for everything. Mm-hmm. But they can jet set, they can do all this stuff around the world, they can come up with these policies that are going to affect whether or not I can get my kids to sports, whether or not I can drive back and forth to work and it not cost me an exorbitant amount. They're disconnected from the people they're representing. I think Canadians, and I find this is resonating across the country, they're common sense, hardworking people. And they just want to be able to raise their families and be a part of...
Maybe take a vacation now and again.
Exactly.
Why not? You work hard.
They're longing for normal, like a long-lost best friend.
Yeah.
Like, they just... They want to get back to... Look, we don't want government micromanaging our lives. And that's why, you know, I think the message of Mr. Polyev is resonating with people across the country is they want to get back to some sense of normalcy and living their lives and being free without constant government intervention in every aspect of their lives, where, you know, how much they can afford to drive their car, or, you know, oh, you can't do this, or you can't eat there, or, you know, you don't, well, don't eat beef, and all this stuff.
You don't want to be scolded for taking advantage of a vacation that you broke your back all year working for. A lecture given to you by elite class who take private planes, right? The ones that decry wealth but want all of it.
It's like one person said this. Now, it's not my quote, but someone had said this to me, and I think it resonates. They said, I believe these people are serious about climate change when they ban private jets.
Well, if a COP, whatever number they're at now, conference, if that's not a Zoom conference or should be, I don't know what is.
Lead by example.
Why do you go to the best places on earth?
Right, and fly all these luxury jets.
Exactly.
To get there.
If that's the message you're sending, and you're yelling at people or scolding people, calling them evil, awful, horrible human beings for taking their family on a vacation maybe once a year if they can afford that.
Absolutely.
You know, this is why people are getting a little anxious of kind of the state of it, right? Like, just leave me alone.
Yeah, yeah. Let us live our lives. Let us work hard. I think if we could hear the cry of our farmers out there, our workers, they would say, let the farmers farm. Mm-hmm. Let the producers produce. Let the workers work. Get off our backs, and we'll help pull Canada out of its economic malaise if you will just get off the backs of the private sector, our producers and our wealth generators, and let them do what they do best. That's Canadian. And Canadians know how to work hard and know how to innovate and know how to produce. They just need a government that will get out of the way and let them do it, instead of further regulating and further punishing productivity and, oh my land, that terrible, dreadful word, make a profit.
Make a profit. That is horrible now. How dare you make a profit? And how dare you have competition in a marketplace that provides a better product service for
Absolutely.
People?
Absolutely. No, exactly. But I'm thankful. I think Canadians are realizing this. And I believe that's why Mr. Polyev is resonating at the level he is across the country, is because people want their lives back, and they know the potential that Canada has. We have incredible potential with our vast lands, the fifth largest amount of agricultural lands on the planet. All we need to do is allow our producers and farmers to do what they do best, and we have amazing agriculture in this country. But let's help enhance it. Let's get out of the way of that development instead of hampering it. The input costs have been soaring on these producers. Let's get on the side of our producers and watch what they can do to help not only Canada, but the rest of the world with their generation. Same thing with energy. We've got incredible potential on all fronts, whether it's hydro, nuclear, oil and gas, natural gas, all kinds of new and innovative things as well. We can do incredible stuff. We just need to partner with them and allow them to advance and produce and do what they do so well.
Absolutely. And the government, especially in the Marxist left, doesn't seem to realize that if you keep taking from A, if you keep taking and giving, eventually there's not going to be an A to take from.
Absolutely.
They're going to stop producing. They're going to move. They're just going to say, forget it, I'm out, and stop working altogether, stop producing those jobs and what have you. This is the problem. I don't think they realize there is a breaking point. Nobody's going to stick around and get bled to death. There will be that point. And when it becomes easier to throw in the towel and say, you know what, I'm just not going to open my business. I'm not going to keep going to work. that is the breaking point where people then become more dependent on government. And of course, when you're dependent on government, then government grows.
Exactly. And the sign of a healthy nation is when you have reward for hard work. Mm-hmm. And those business owners that take risks, those entrepreneurs, those small business owners that are out there and helping employ people, like I think it's like something like 80% of Canadians are employed through some small business in some way. If that is the case, let's allow them to receive recompense and reward for their hard work. Let's not just take it back from them through taxation all the time and punish them for success. Let's reward success. But at the same time, it's like, I think it was Margaret Thatcher who said, and I love the, you know, the Iron Lady's
quote. I think I know the quote you're going to go to. She said many, but I know the one you're going to.
She said, you can't lift up the wage earner by tearing down the wage payer. I think it was her that said that. And I think, you know, we know that through free market capitalism, that has been kind of one of the staples of Western democracy, it can be a tide that helps raise all boats.
Absolutely.
There's no perfect system because they're made up of humans, but I would take that to the alternatives, because any full-fledged socialist society eventually caves in on itself. Those constructs cannot be sustained in the long run. So I think we can do great things in Canada. We have amazing potential, and our future is bright. We just need some leadership that taps into and believes in the potential of Canada rather than stifle it.
Absolutely. In a growing field with blades of grass at different height, the lawnmower is the equalizer. The lawnmower is big government. Mm. And it made equal by the saw, made equal by the blade. I didn't say that. This was someone else said this, but made equal by the blade, you're always cutting down. You're making people equally miserable. You're not rising boats with lifting all boats with a rising tide. Richard, we're running out of time here. As you know, I always give the guests the last word, so the floor is yours.
Well, thank you, Jamie. It's been a pleasure to be with you again. Always fun. And look, I'm very hopeful. I know the challenges for Canada are many. I know that we're facing some huge hurdles out there right now, economically and fiscally, and people are facing, you know, soaring interest rates, and we're seeing it with soaring inflation and cost increases. But there's reason for hope. Change is coming, and I believe that you know, we've got a leader right now on the stage that has the capacity, the ability, and the vision to take Canada in a better direction in a hurry and get us there where we need to be by tapping in to that untapped potential of this great country called Canada. You know, our workers, our farmers, our producers, all of that that's out there just waiting to be unleashed. And I think once we get the right leadership in place, this country can become the envy of the world, as it should be.
That's why Richard Bragdon is the Order of the East, Member of Parliament for Etobicoke MacTaquac. I also want to thank him not only for coming on the show, but wearing the same shade of purple. I'm glad we got the memo and coordinated on that. We also want to thank you for your time. We do appreciate that as well. We ask that you comment, like, subscribe, and share this program. There is someone in your social media network that might be open to hearing this message, probably isn't getting it through the mainstream media. This is your chance to tell them about it. Also, if they can't watch or listen to this program in its entirety right this second, they can download it on platforms like CastBox, iTunes, Google Play, and Spotify. New content for you every single Tuesday, 1:30 p.m. Eastern Time. Until then, we say low taxes, less government, more freedom. That's the blueprint.